I want to introduce you to David and Sarah Akers, who let it be known they want to be a part of us. Where are David and Sarah? Are they here? They're over there. Standing up. There they are. So we're delighted to have them and want you to get to know them and get to meet them and welcome them to be a part of our congregation. I mentioned this morning for second service, I forgot to do it in first. Some of you had requested additional copies of the One Word book, and they are on the front pew. And about half of that box is gone, but there's another box in my office. And so if we run out of this one, we can pull the other one out. And I said, is it all right if we order more? He said, you can order 10,000 boxes if you'd like to. So if we run out and the people want some more, we can get those. I want us to go back to the story of Cain and Abel that we looked at last week in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis. I have looked at this, I guess, one way most of my life without really thinking about it. And I don't know why I haven't questioned it and looked at it more seriously. But I want to share something with you that I thought about this week as after we had finished the lesson. I want us to take a look at Cain and Abel and be reminded again of the sacrifice. Adam knew his wife, and she brought forth a son by the name of Cain. And then sometime after Cain was born, then Abel was born. And in the process of time, these two boys each brought an offering to God. Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 5 is where the story is. And it says this, that Cain's offering was of the fruit of the soil. And it says that Abel's offering was of his flock. Now, that's not all that it says, but those are the two things that are the differences in their sacrifice, at least on one level. There's another level of difference, and we'll get to that in just a moment. We'd always heard, or I have, that this offering by Abel was offered by faith, which means, and this is an assumption because it's not stated in the text, which means by assumption that God had said, offer an animal, offer a lamb. And Abel did that, and his sacrifice was pleasing to God. And Cain did not do that, and therefore his sacrifice was not pleasing to God. I had already moved away from that assumption to which is it? Is it the animal that is causing Abel to be looked upon with favor, or is it the quality of the sacrifice that he's offering that's causing him to be looked upon with favor? In order to say that it doesn't matter about these two, there are some verses that we can look at and solving the problem. Is this the problem? Is it that he didn't offer a lamb, why Cain's was not acceptable, and Abel did offer a flock, a part of the flock, a goat or a sheep? Is that the reason why his was accepted? Offerings from the soil are listed all through the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, if you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain roasted on fire. So an animal sacrifice is not the only one that is accepted. Now, an animal sacrifice is what is accepted in connection with a sin offering. Because with sin offering, there must be blood. There must be death. But grain offerings are offered on a regular basis as well. Every year when the harvest comes in, every year. When they gather the harvest, then they will offer a wave offering or another offering to God that would be the grain, what came from the soil. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, God instructed Israel, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. There was nothing wrong with a soil offering, an offering coming from the soil or from the plants that you've planted. From that standpoint, there does not seem to be a thing wrong with what Cain offered, with it coming from the ground. And then a couple of interesting passages that go along with this. We're not going to take the time to read it. If you want to, you can. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11, goes through a pretty detailed ordeal of what the children of Israel were to do when they came into the promised land and they first harvested crops in that land. What they were to do was to take what they had harvested from those crops and put them in a basket and bring them to the priest. And they bring them to the priest and say, "This is how God has blessed me by bringing me to the land that he has promised me." They are to offer them to the priest. The priest will take them to the altar. And the individual who was offering this grain offering or this offering from the soil is to go with the priest to the altar. And there he is to say to God something along this line: "My father was an Amorite. And my father came to the land of Egypt. And we dwelt there as slaves and we suffered hardship. And then our God brought us out of the land of Egypt and brought us to the land that he had promised us. And I am bringing forth to God the first fruits that I have received in the land that God has promised us to show how much God has blessed us." That's Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. Another one that I hadn't thought about until I got to studying this. I thought about it, but I had not attached it to this. Is in Matthew 23, verse 23, when Jesus is condemning the Pharisees. And he says to the Pharisees, "You give a tenth of all of your herbs. You give a tenth of the dill. You give a tenth of the mint. You give a tenth of the cumin. But you neglect the more important things of the law: righteousness, justice. You neglect those things. Those are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." And so the whole idea that the grain offering or an offering from the soil was what made Cain's offering unacceptable doesn't make sense when you look at it from the standpoint of what the Bible says in its entirety. So we go back and we take another look at what it says more specifically about Cain and Abel. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering of fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And there you see a distinction. You see a distinction in the offering is coming from the best parts, the fat portions. And it's also coming from the firstborn. And if you look and compare that with what it says about Cain, Cain brought some fruits from the soil. No indication they were the first of the crops, and no indication that they were the best. He just brought some fruits of the crop. Hebrews chapter 11 says that God had favor to Abel and his sacrifice. And that by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. And Genesis and Hebrews, in particular Genesis, will tell us that the result on the part of Cain was his anger. He became angry, and we know the story of how he killed his brother. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 also tells us that even though Abel is dead, he still speaks. What is he saying? What if God never said a word about first fruits? What if God never said a word about bringing the best and bringing the first? What if he didn't mention that at all? What if Cain did exactly in keeping with what God had said? How is Abel different? And how is it by faith? I think this is key. I think this is important. Matter of fact, I started to mention this morning with our two lessons for today. One of them on the taking of the Lord's Supper, and then on this one, that we were really going to take a look at the heart of worship. So if God did not, and I don't know that he didn't, he may have said, boys, do this. And in that sense, Cain would have been in direct disobedience. But there's no mention of Cain being in direct disobedience. There is no mention that Cain did not do what God said. It's just that when they brought the sacrifices, God was pleased with one, but he wasn't the other. What is there by faith that could have allowed that to happen? One of them honored God as the great God that he is. The other one did not. One of them honored God as the great creator of all the world, as the giver of all life, as the one that you want to bow down and worship because he is so great. And the other offered a sacrifice. Without thought and comprehension of to who it was going to. Now let's look at some verses. These we're going to read. Open to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. And we're going to look at two verses here because both of them demonstrate this very same kind of heart, this very same kind of attitude that I think Abel has in regard to his sacrifice that he offers. Since 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David had enrolled the army. He had taken a census to see how large the army was. We're not going into detail about the entire chapter. There's some things that need to be looked at more deeply. But the Bible will tell us that this was of God because God was angry with Israel. When David counted the army, God sent a death angel. He came and he gave David three choices. Which one do you want? You want this to happen? You want this to happen? Or do you want to deal with me? And David said, don't let me fall into the hand of my enemies. Don't let me fall into the hand of those that hate me. Let me deal with you. And so the death angel came and he started killing. And he killed right to the place where the ark was. And David goes to the place where he is eventually going to build the temple. And there he stands to offer God a sacrifice in order to stop the slaughter that's taking place. And when he comes to the man that owns the place, the man says, what are you doing? And he says, I want to buy your oxen. I want to buy this piece of land so that I could build an altar and make a sacrifice to my God. The man who owned the land said to David, it's yours. You take it. Here are the oxen. You take them and offer them a sacrifice. Here is wood to be used for the fire. Here is wood to be used for the building of the altar. The land is yours. The oxen are yours. Everything is yours. And David said to him, no. I will not give to my Lord that which cost me nothing. So he bought everything from the man and he offered the sacrifice. Back up one page. Go to chapter 23. And if you look at verse 16 and verse 17, this is when the Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem and David made a wish to drink water from the well that was in Bethlehem. So three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, to do this, he said. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David would not drink it, but he poured the water out as a drink offering to to God. God had not said a word to David about don't drink that water. God had not said a word to David about you need to think about this before you do it. It was out of the heart of David, in realizing what these men had done and realizing the sacrifice that had been made, that he said, this represents the very life and very blood of these men. Such a gift belongs only to God, and I will not drink it. And he pours it out as a drink offering to God, honoring God. Knowing what this means, knowing what's involved here, knowing and understanding who God is. You remember this passage? Malachi chapter 1. God deals directly with a group of people who don't get this, who would have never offered the sacrifice Abel offered, who would have never poured the water out. In Malachi chapter 1, starting with verse 6, God says this to the children of Israel. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where's the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you say, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Do you think there's enough messages given to us in the Bible that God says, I will be honored. I will be held in esteem. I will be recognized and honored as the God of all gods. I think that's what Abel did. He knew who he was offering to. So he gave him his best. Cain knew he was offering to God, but it's going to be burned up anyway, so what's the difference? Or it's just going to sit there and rot, so what's the difference? I'll just give what's already rotten. Because what's he going to do with it? And he had a heart that did not honor and did not show the respect that God expects from all of us. Paul writes about this in the book of Colossians. And he writes about it applying the whole idea to every aspect of our life, everything we do. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, he will say this. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every word that comes out of your mouth, let it be to honor Jesus. Let it be to honor and glorify his name. Every single thing that you do, let it be to honor and glorify Jesus. He says it again later in the chapter, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. How are we serving? How do we go about doing the things that we do? With a thought in mind, and a drive of heart that says, I will honor God in this. I will do this for his honor, for his glory. And I will live my life for his honor and for his glory. Because of the great God that he is. Also thought about tying this one in it. I think it fits. You'll know the verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And you know that entire chapter is dealing with love. And just take a look at this heart that Paul describes in the first part. And think about it as it applies to all of this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love for whom? Love for God. Love for Him. Doing what I do in life and living my life to honor Him and to offer Him my best. Because He is a great God. He is the only God. He is my Maker. He is my Savior. He is my God. I think Abel came to God in that kind of a heart. I don't think Cain did. And I think when he looked at it, God said, I'm pleased with Abel. Cain, I'm not too pleased with you. And I think Cain could have screamed out, why? I did exactly what you said. No. Not exactly. Because you let me know you don't know me. Like you think you should. Like I think you should. And he didn't honor him. So, whatever we do, word or indeed, let's do everything to his honor and to his glory. There may be somebody here tonight who's ready to become a Christian. There may be somebody here who's needing to come home to Christ. We're going to offer you His invitation, and we'll do that as together we stand and sing.